On Sunday, the Academy Awards, the biggest night in the film calendar, will take place in Hollywood. Attending the event will be George Clooney and Meryl Streep, who are nominated in the Best Actor and Best Actress category. But also walking down the red carpet will be Mother Dolores Hart, who is the subject of an Oscar-nominated short documentary entitled God is the Bigger Elvis. The 38-minute film charts her life and that of her fellow nuns at the Abbey of Regina Laudis in Connecticut. Mother Dolores left behind a successful acting career in Hollywood in the 1960s to become a nun after starring alongside leading men such as Elvis Presley and Anthony Quinn. She spoke to Lydia O'Kane about the documentary and her return to Hollywood after 50 years.
In the Abbey, I'm the prioress, which is the person named by the abbess to help serve her in her office. It's not an elected office, but an office which is one that is a duty that is a very common one in monastic life, but a very honored one because it's an office of service that allows you to be helpful to the whole community and helpful in the place of the abbess whenever she is absent from her duty, but then to do whatever is needed as she would be requesting.
Mother Dolores, I wanted to ask you firstly, your life has taken you in twists and turns in the sense that you started off with one career and ended up doing something different. And I wanted to ask you, do you think that was God's wish for you? Do you feel that it was God's destiny for you?
Well, in the monastery, we are very clear about the work of a mission for each one of the members of our community, and very conscious that each woman comes with a profession or with a past life, and it's not to be forgotten or put under the rug, as they say, that what you are and who you are is in some way to be used creatively as part of your monastic vocation. And it's going to be revealed as you enter monastic life in some way. It will be open to you. As I entered the monastery, I was immediately very old-fashioned in my attitude, and I said, I will no longer be an actress, and that's over. And Mother, Reverend Mother Benedict, who was our foundress then, laughed at me and said, not at all, sister, just you wait. And she was right, because within 10 years, we discovered that Patricia Neal, who was a friend of my dear friend Maria Cooper, who I had known in Hollywood, Patricia was sent here after her very terrible divorce in England, and Patricia came here as part of our hospitality is to receive persons in distress, and she opened to us a very beautiful possibility of building a theater on our land, an outdoor theater, and she didn't think she was ever going to act again, but she played in that theater and really showed the community such a beautiful sense of resurrection in her own life, but not only hers, but she brought us the wonderful gift of having a theater on a monastic land. And that, of course, gave me the opportunity of having my own theater here, in which I could then have a place to invite many of the people in Hollywood that I knew to come, to have a place where they could express themselves. I didn't participate actively on the theater because it wasn't necessary. I found that in compliment, those whom I cared for and loved would have a place to be able to work, and in another way to perform in a contemplative experience. But that gave me back something I thought I had lost.
What made you decide to leave a successful career? Was it a calling you just couldn't keep away from?
I wanted to be an actress from the time I was 7 years old. My father was an actor, and my grandfather was a projectionist in the movie theater, and it was in my blood. I just knew that's what I was going to do. But when I was 10 years old, I had a serious accident in a swimming pool and was paralyzed for a number of weeks. And when I woke up in that, at that time, I had been a convert to the Catholic faith. And the amazing thought of being a part of the church as a sister hit me, and I thought, this is ridiculous. But that germ stayed with me, and off and on, all through my young life, that kept coming back to me in different times. But I never really thought that was going to happen, because the real thing I knew I had to do was be an actress. But to move forward, because we don't have time for my whole biography here, just to say that eventually I did have an amazing career given to me. It was an extraordinary gift because of all the things that just happened, and I was in the right place in the right time, as the saying goes. And I did get engaged to be married. But before I could make a commitment, a serious commitment for life, that seed that had been planted long ago just absolutely forbid me to do it. I had come to the Abbey of Regina Laudis when I was on Broadway. I had come here as a place to have a retreat, so I knew the Abbey, and I had visited the Abbey off and on, and I had really come to love it because it was just home in a very mysterious and wonderful way to me. But it began to call in a very deep and a piercing sense of truth, let me know that this was the place I had to attend. And I don't know, anyone who's ever been in love knows what it is to do what you have to do. You can't explain it. You can't tell anybody what it means. You know you have to follow your heart. That's the only way I can explain a vocation. You either know it or you don't.
I wanted to turn to this short Oscar-nominated short documentary. And I wanted to ask you, why did you decide to do it?
Well, this was another amazing thing, because I went to Washington, D.C. on another venture about 2 years ago and happened to be introduced to the late Archbishop Pietro Sambi in his office. His home was the same place. When he met me, he embraced me in a most unusual way and said, "Mother, Chiara," and I couldn't imagine what he was going to say, "you must make a film about consecrated life. You must do this. We are asking you to do this. There are three of us asking you to do this. And it is important for the church that you make this film. And I was dumbfounded. And I said, but Your Excellency, I have no way of doing this. I have no way to Hollywood, and I'm an enclosed nun. I can't do this. And he just kept laughing at me and saying, oh, but God can do things when it's necessary beyond the problems that we have. And I said, but it's not a problem. It's my life. And he just was so intent. He talked to me for over an hour and then showed me all of his paintings. And then he took me to my car, which has never happened. I kept saying, but Your Excellency, you mustn't do this. And he said, no, I am telling you, you must make this film. And I want you to know how serious I am. Well, I went back and I told our abbess about this. And she said, he is the most beautiful man. This is the church. This is the way the church is. And we must listen to him and pray, because when the church speaks, something will happen. Just wait. And I thought, oh, okay. And so then, 2 days later, if you can believe it, we got a telephone call from HBO asking us to make this film. They didn't know anything about the Archbishop. They had not talked to him, had nothing in common with him. Well, I went to Mother Abbess and I told her, and she said, you see what happens when your church speaks? Somebody answers. And so we said, we have never done any film like this since we have been founded. Lady Abbess would never do something like that, nor would Mother Abbess. But in this context, we said yes. So that's why we did the film.
Now, for our listeners, I should say that the film is called God is the Bigger Elvis. And it chronicles really the day-to-day life of nuns at the Abbey. I should also mention it's also a working farm.
Yes, now, the reason why it's called God is the Bigger Elvis is because I said something in the film in which someone made a remark to me about my past life. And I said some wisecrack, if you'll pardon the expression. And I said, oh, but God is the Bigger Elvis. And they used that as the film title, which I think is quite sweet. I mean, I think it's a lovely title. But I didn't make it as the title of the film. I was just being, you know, how people are when you are being... Trying to be funny, almost.
So, literally, it looks at the life. It looks at the order, what you do on a day to day basis, and what activities that you are involved in.
Yes, that's right. And it's only 38 minutes, so it certainly cannot go into the whole story, but it certainly is amazing to what extent it is able to capture a good deal, and they do it beautifully. I think that the capacity of HBO and Rebecca and Julie to capture what they have done and do it with such respect and such an amazing sensitivity, it's a wonder. I'm quite impressed. And the way they used our archival films, because I started making films with my little movie camera in 1970 when I was first consecrated. I got a little film camera. And they used all of the films that I had as archives. And that was such a gift, because I didn't think any of those films were ever going to go anywhere. And they're certainly not great, but it's better that they hit the surface. house rather than die in the basement, if you know what I mean.
Tell me, Mother Dolores, what do you think of today's Hollywood? What do you think of film today in Hollywood?
Well, I think that films have always been the way that Hollywood has always tried to look at the heartbeat, at the pain, at the suffering of the soul of the human race. Ever since film started, that was the driving force of the filmmaker to reveal what is really going on inside the person. I think that each decade of Hollywood has become more vital in its intent to discover the interior part and to be more terrifyingly truthful as it can be. I think it is going to always have that drive. I think having watched films for the last, I'd say, 60 years of my life, I think films have always been a wonder to me. And you have to look for the best and not dwell on that which has no value, because there'll be both. There always is going to be both. In life, there's always both. It's your choice to find in life what is good and true and beautiful. You've got to make that choice.
You're a member of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. When films come round for the Oscar season, you get to look at some of the best films that are on offer, basically. How does that make you feel, having to just look and contemplate what you're going to vote for?
Oh, I feel a great honor to be part of that academy. I was brought into that academy in 1960, and I felt a great gift to be allowed to be part of it. And when I first went into the Abbey, the abbess felt that it was no longer necessary for me to be in it, because in the monastery I wouldn't be able to go to the city to look at the films, and so my membership was then put on hold. But then in 1990, my 25th anniversary of Vows, Carl Malden, who was the head of the Academy at that time, contacted us and said, would I please be reinstated as a voting member at that point, and asked the abbess if she would allow it. And she did. She said she thought that it would be possible, because they were now having films on disc and I wouldn't have to leave the monastery to participate. And so I was then reinstated as a voting member. And in that, as I said, it is a great opportunity to see everything that is presented, and then to have your vote as part of that, as part of the industry. It makes you really end up to be counted.
You'll obviously be at the ceremony on Sunday night. You've been to the Academy Awards before, I believe, so will this be very emotional for you?
Well, I imagine so. The last time I was at the Pantages Theatre, I think there will be nothing at all like it when I go. I think it will be completely new. And I think that's the one thing that monastic life has taught me. People think that living in the monastery, that every day is alike, and everything is the same. But the one thing the monastery teaches you is that every moment of your life is new. Everything that you encounter is always new. It's the gift of life is an extraordinary and precious reality. It's for you to have the consciousness being given. And I only hope that when I go, I will have the humility to see what is actually given to me and not go with the intent of wanting to see what I want, if you understand what I mean. I want to be able to see what is there and to bring home to my sisters a true reality of life that will give them joy and give them a reason to pray for this work of the industry to help to elevate and to bring to it a new life and to also bring our community into focus so that it will have a new work, so the monastery can be part of the industry in a new way.
Just one final question, Mother Dolores. You talked earlier there about following your heart. And I wanted to ask you, for any young person who is thinking about a vocation, who wants to go into the theatre, who wants to be an actor, who wants to be an actress, is that something you would say to them, follow your heart?
I think that you must do what you really believe and follow in your own interior heart's call. You have to begin to know yourself first, because you don't know your heart immediately. In the beginning of your life, you don't know your heart. You have to first know yourself. And that's a big work, to begin even to know who you are, to find out your own mission. What is it you can do best? What is your own bonum, your own good, who you are? And then you can know what you do. And then you can begin to know how you care for others. And then eventually, when you can do that, maybe you can come to a realization of how you can begin to love. Then you can follow your heart. But it's a process. And one has to get into a process of discovery so that eventually you can begin to come to a place of self-knowledge and in that light make a decision to discover what you must do with your life. But you don't just jump into that first. There's a ladder of ascent.